9, it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." If you love one another. So that means no matter who, no matter what is around us, that we are loving that person. We are seeing them as a person. We're seeing them as God created them to be. They're no longer repelled by the church. We're treating them like they're somebody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Gandhi said these words. He said, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." They're so unlike your Christ. Well, we want to innovate church to be back like Jesus, right? The church for so many years and so many even decades has turned their back on just simply loving others that weren't like them, and simply caused a divide throughout our nation, saying this is the way and this is what we're going to do, and if you're not a part of it, we hate you. That's not what Jesus did. That's not how he acted with people. I found that nobody's repelled by love. See, Gandhi said that he could love Jesus, but it was hard to love Christians. Some of you remember the story, and so I'll tell it very quickly. But my very first version of this, of starting this, of being involved in the ministry, after God called me to help lead my people, it started all through, maybe you can search it on Wikipedia, but it started all through pouring fishy crackers into a Dixie cup. Because kids need snacks, right, parents? Kids need snacks. Parents need snacks, right? Amen. We can put some more amens on that one, right? But the church is a serving organization. I started off simply in ministry by serving. Josh, down there running, wherever he's at, running the soundboard with the simple iPad from serving. The faith of cleaning the carpets, of serving. Our grill masters over here grilling up some amazing hot dogs, right? They're serving. See, it's not anything spectacular. It's being willing to say, "God, I will. I'll step in and do whatever there is for me to do." If you currently serve at Innovation, even once a month, would you stand to your feet and let's give these people a round of applause? Come on, like stand up, look around, let's clap for them. They are awesome. They are amazing people. You're going to hear them announced by their teams later because they're the ones that serve. Some of the first ones to be here and some of the last ones to leave. And so today we're going to honor them. And Brian recorded a whole special announcer voice to the Bulls theme song. And we're going to announce them and we're going to cheer for them because they are our team that serve us each and every week. But we don't have, those people aren't a bunch of lonely, they're not a bunch of bored people with really nothing to do. They're people that believe in the mission and know that they were created to join God in his mission. They serve because it's a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. In a world where it's 9 to 5, I mean, no, Dolly can't kid me any longer. Like, she even knows better, right? It's more 11 to 7 or 2:30 to 11 or 2:30 to 12 or to 1 or to 2 a.m. or a 9 to 9 or a 6 to 9. Like, all those hours are all over the place. We have many that would say that it's a rat race of life, but that serving, we've heard this quoted, "Serving is the most fulfilling thing I do." And ask Jordan, there's some people that even get mad when they don't get scheduled. Like, "Why'd you take me off, man? Why don't I get to be in there with some preschoolers this Sunday?" And he's like, "I've got to give more people this opportunity." And so my question for each and every one of us today is, will we get off the sidelines? Will we get into the game? Will we start with as simple as fishy crackers or start as simple as opening the door? To get off the bench or to get off our tailgate, right? And get onto the field. To stop being in just a part of the crowd. To stop being a consumer of church, but be those that serve one another. That you are determined to show love to others. Because you've seen the church for so long not live out that verse. And you're like, well, I've got kids. That's okay. They can help poor fishy crackers. They'll eat one and they'll drop another in the cup. It's all right. We've got big boxes. We cannot lie. And it's all right. Acts 6:1-6, it says, the apostles are teaching and thousands of people are becoming followers of Christ. This isn't just my idea that everybody gets involved in serving. This is where the church is growing and there's problems. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we have those same things. We have those same problems. We are looking even this week at buildings that are going to be sitting right here. And in order for those to happen, they've got to have 3 adults in each building to serve our next generation. But we don't have those 3 adults yet, but I'm pretty sure that we do. There's a hand right over there. And we've got our next generation, our students that are outgrowing our office space, and they need a bigger space, and they've got some adults that are going to need to come along and serve. And so there was problems that were happening in Acts here. We've talked about it. We talked about it in the I Love My Church series, but growing churches have problems. Back in 6:8, the apostles are in the food service business, but there's not enough people to get the food to everybody. And so they begin to say, saying, hey, I notice you have hands, right? I notice you have legs. I notice you say that you love others. You say that you want to live out these words of Jesus. Here, come over here, and you can come and serve one another. Many of you guys brought into today, you brought in desserts, you brought in side dishes, you brought in main dishes. And that's just a simple example of all of us playing a part so that everybody can enjoy a meal here today. See, leaders need to lead. Teachers need to teach. Cooks need to cook. Fishy cracker pourers need to pour fishy crackers. It doesn't matter. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, Paul wrote, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can start somewhere. I guarantee you, if I never poured that first cup of fishy crackers, I wouldn't be here standing up here at Tailgate Sunday today. But it was out of that obedience, just like it was out of David's obedience to be about his father's business, taking care of the sheep. That's when he was called a man after God's own heart, not while he was fighting Goliath, while he was being about his father's business. Look it up. It's awesome. Can we be ones that are willing to be about our father's business, give what, sign up wherever, volunteer wherever, serve wherever, serve whoever, so that he can have his way with us. Mending the needs of people is a crucial foundation of the church, and it's something that we can do better at, that we can come together. In Micah 6:8, it says, has he told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Justice and mercy, attitude and action. God, who is described as a defender to the poor, says that it's our time to step up and help those that are in need. Each and every week we have people that are coming here searching in need of love, in need in a world that's divisive, in need of a savior. Serving is for everybody. We don't even require membership in order to serve. You don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to have it all together. But we do ask that everybody serve somewhere. No, your husband doesn't count for the both of you, and because he can't be 2 body parts, just in case you didn't wonder. If you were wondering, he can't do that. You are different than him, and he is happy about that. Trust me, he really is happy about that. Your gifts, your talents, they're different than his, and they do matter. While people can learn through good preaching, personal Bible study, or connect groups, and you're going to see about those today, most people don't grow past a certain point if they're not involved in serving others. Over and over, I've been doing this. I started pouring fishy crackers about 30 years ago. I had no clue what God had in store for me. But I found that the more I put in, the more I get out. I simply care about my investments, right? I got the little Acorns app, and it tells me how I'm growing an oak. I've got my 401k. I've got my high-yield savings account, and I log in on a monthly basis. I was so glad that the month ended because I got to see how much I made just for my money sitting still, not going into anybody else's hands, not going into Walmart's hands, not going in towards payments or anything like that. But just by sitting in the bank, it made money. not to talk about Roth IRAs. Like, it's, there's great things. And if you have no clue about any of those, God has principles for our finances. And we're going to be talking about those for the next 4 weeks. Because I don't know about you, but this economy is a little tight. And things are a little tight. And God has principles about that that we can put into place in our lives. But today, the end result of Acts 6 and 7 is not that the widows were happy, which they were. That widows were happy that they were getting fed now when they weren't getting fed, when they were getting skipped over. But the gospel was spread. That's why we do what we do. We don't fill slots. We don't babysit kids on a Sunday morning. We don't pass out smiles at the door. We're not just slicing bagels to get out like an arm workout or anything like that. We don't just tailgate Sunday. We spread the kingdom. We let everybody know who our God is. And we put him on display time after time after time. We don't need anybody else reaching. We need people that live out Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, where it says, we're saved to do work, good works. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we're given leaders to prepare us. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we're given God's word to equip us. Hebrews 10, 24, we have the church to encourage us. And 1 Peter 4, 10, we are given gifts to empower us, to power us, to do the work of the ministry, to serve one another. We've been created and gifted to serve. And so today, maybe as we close off today, could it be time to get off of our tailgate? As you walk in today and you grab a plate and you grab some napkins and some silverware and some food, you're going to be going from your tailgate. You're going to head inside. And as you walk inside, you'll begin to walk on turf. You'll probably talk too, right? You'll be taking some steps on some turf. And that wasn't by accident. That wasn't just to just put out there just to be a pretty decoration. That was to say, you know what? I'm out of the crowd, I'm off of my tailgate, and it's time for me to get in the game. I can serve somewhere. As you go in, there's arrows on the ground telling you where to go. You'll have some awesome like greeters and people to tell you where to go and how to get there. And I'm stalling so that they get in their spots, right? And so as they guide you through, you're gonna see awesome food, you're gonna see awesome meals, but you're also gonna see awesome opportunities. Opportunities to be a baby whisperer, opportunities to be a security guard, opportunities to be an event host, opportunities to be on a setup team or a teardown team for amazing events like this. Like, you have been created and you've been gifted to serve. It's time to get off of our tailgates and commit and serve. Stop remaining inside the walls of isolation that don't get us on teams, that don't get us working together, that push aside others and say, I'm going to do this life on my own. No, it's about doing life together and growing with one another. And so, bottom line today, serve somewhere. Enjoy the game. By the way, for those of you that are football fans, you're like, I'm going to miss kickoff. I'm going to miss that. That's not the case. We've got the Red Zone channel playing right here in the cafe, and right behind this wall behind me, there's a Colts lounge. And so for those of you that are Colts fans, you can hang out, you can eat your food right up here in some comfy couches and watch the Colts game. But before we eat, before we blow up the bounce houses, before all the amazing stuff happens back there, we are going to pray, all right? And then we're going to eat, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for this powerful reminder that we've all got game, that we have gifts, that we have talents that you've given us. You have prepared us, God, to get in the game. Many times we don't think because of our past that we're disqualified, but God, you are the one that qualifies us. You have uniquely gifted us, and you've called each of us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Thank you for the example of Elijah, of Elijah that knew who to turn to. In his season of struggle, he turned to you. And thank you for calling us not to walk this journey alone. Lord, we recognize the power of community and how isolation leads us into dark places. But you invite us into your life to be a part of a team, to serve, to contribute. Just as the early church in Acts grew through the faithfulness of everyone playing their part, We ask for that same spirit of unity and service and purpose here in our church. Help us, God, to stop sitting on the sidelines, to get off of our tailgate and to step fully into the calling that you've placed on our lives. God, some of us may think that we have an awesome calling, but we're too focused on that to serve others. Some of us don't think that you could do anything with us, and all you're asking us to do is to fill a cup full of fishy crackers. You're asking us to start somewhere so that you can be the one that leads us. Let us serve not out of obligation, but out of a deep desire to see your kingdom come. And we pray that as we serve, you would equip us, you would empower us, you would encourage us to keep going, knowing that the work we do together brings glory to you and it spreads the gospel to those who need to hear it. May we be known by your love. May we love, may it be that love that reaches the 67% who don't know you yet. We commit today not to just talk about love, but to act on it, to serve wherever you lead, to serve for your glory. And God, we ask that this food that has been prepared for us today, may it bless each and every one that eats it. May you bless the hands that prepared it. May you stretch it to last for all of us to be able to eat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.